Today's a special day. One of those awesome holidays that kind of don't show up in every tradition of the Christian church. Now, it doesn't really matter what tradition you belong to. You're probably going to get Easter. You hope. You're probably going to get Christmas. I mean, the groups that reject those entirely are really often non-Trinitarian as well, so can't rightly call them Christian in that regard. But you know, you don't get Lent in the more revivalist bodies, the bodies that are trying to be happy all the time. You just can't do happy Lent, right? And with that, you can't really do happy Good Friday. In fact, you ever go to one of these passion plays at a Baptist church? I've done it before. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with it. But it's Good Friday service, and they have the passion play, and they have Jesus die, but then what do? He always rises from the dead on Good Friday, right? He shows up. It's like there's this fear, and it's an understandable fear. It's in us. There's this fear of letting the cross be the cross, of letting the despair be the despair. And one of my favorite things about being Lutheran is like, we're like, no, bring it on. Bring it on. Let me feel that tenebrae, that darkness. Let me tremble at my sin. Let me understand how he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for me. And along with Good Friday, Ash Wednesday is a similar kind of thing. It's not a happy day. It's not a day of brightness and glory. It's a day to remember what Adam and Eve must surely have felt as that angel with the flaming sword drove them from paradise, lest they eat of the tree of life. And they found suddenly a whole different world, one racked with thistles and thorns, where the food was not readily available, where by sweat and toil and pain, they had to strive to bring forth their next years. And where, after many of those years, what must it have been like the first time they saw the dead body of their own son, murdered by his brother? What must it have been like as they watched that body? I wonder how brutally murdered it was, but let's just say it wasn't. Let's say it was one strike to the back of the head. You could still see his face. What did they do? They wouldn't have known to bury it. What must it have been like to watch that body slowly turn back into dust and rot? To dust. You shall return. And how much later then did Eve die? Did Adam have to watch? Or was it the other way around? Did he go first and then she watched her head, the one whom she had tempted, face the penalty of giving in to that temptation and turn to dust? Today is a day to remember that's going to happen to you too, that we all bear this penalty, that the wages of sin is death, and that nobody dies if they don't sin, unless they give up their life. Our Lord managed to do that. No one else has ever done that. And so we gather, whether it's in the morning, we're going to do that here at the International Center, at the chapel service, or whether it's in the evening, my guess is most of your congregations will have this. Not all, there's a few Missouri Synod congregations that don't do this, but most do. Gather together to say some prayers, to sing a few hymns. You're always going to hear a sermon in a Lutheran church. And then have the pastor take some ash. We use ash because dust doesn't quite work the same way. And it is a picture of wrath, what fire does, right? Fire is always an image of wrath in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, as opposed to light, right? Fire and light are kind of different things symbolically. Anyway, different topic. Pastor's going to take a little bit of ash, and he's going to put it on your forehead. He's going to say, "From dust you were taken, and to dust you shall return." And all the philosophies of this age and all the spiritualities out there, all the attempts to find a way to be spiritual but not religious, I have never seen or felt such a profound moment as when a pastor reaches out his fingers, points me in the face, blackens my skin with wrath, and says, "By your own fault, by your own most grievous fault, will this happen to you too? Nothing has so humbled me personally as a pastor as to do that to others. I you stand there in the line of people and they keep coming and you keep marking them and it just strikes you. What this fall, what this curse has done to us. But it's wonderfully reminding only because we know the answer. And the beauty of Christianity is you don't have to just immediately have the answer. You don't have to run and cover up the ash right away. It's okay to wear it the rest of the day. Because you're a dead man walking, because you're a living man walking. You're resurrected. You're immortal now. Death cannot contain you. So you got no problem boasting of the fact, proclaiming the fact of our Lord's death until he returns and how this death has now marked you with life. That's why the pastor marks you in blackness and wrath with a cross. With a cross to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. That's why Ash Wednesday is baptism day. We don't talk that way much, but it is. This is your baptism. On you. It's still on you. You've been drowned with Jesus. And behold, since he's alive, so will you be too. I love Ash Wednesday. I want to give you a little bit of a hymn text here. I'm going to do this from time to time. Maybe on Wednesdays we'll see. Still trying to work out the pattern. I love patterns. Working out the pattern for our final reading here on His Time in the Morning Drive for the Soul Hour, 7 to 8 a.m. Today, a good Lenten hymn. My song is Love Unknown. My song is love unknown. My Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Ah, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne salvation to bestow. But men made strange, and none the longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometimes they strew his way and sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their king. But then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Why? What hath my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run. He gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries. Yet they at these themselves displease and against him rise. They rise and needs will have my dear Lord made away. A murderer they save. The Prince of Life they slay. Yet cheerful he to suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free. In life, no house, no home my Lord on earth might have. In death, no friendly tomb but what a stranger gave. What may I say? Heaven was his home, but mine, the tomb in which he lay. Here might I stay and sting no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.